session number 30399, Mr. Bill Parr, Reel 3. Now, we're just talking about when you got to Fort George, well, to Inverness. So,
yeah.
you've had a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah. The train pulls in, I remember the time, 9:20. Now, it's took from 7:30 to 9:20 the following morning to get to Inverness. And there's an army vehicle waiting, an old three-ton truck there. They're waiting for all the lads in there then. Anyway, away we go. 19 miles it is from Inverness to Fort George. Great. Go across the drawbridge, and it's a drawbridge. I'm like, do we? But being that I wanted to go, didn't come as a shock to me when I got there. And you're given a, it's a rush through job when you're given your uniform. I've been used to getting fitted up here.
How did they treat you? Because you come in, you're almost a civilian.
Yeah.
You walk through that drawbridge and through the gate, yeah, and you're not.
Yeah.
How did they handle it? I mean, did they shout at you right from the go?
Nothing at all. Nothing like you see on this. I don't know what this program was.
The telly things.
That is total rubbish. That is total rubbish. The way they eff and blind at recruits and all that. That never happened. Not in my day, anyway. It was great. It was simply great.
So they just took you in and they were reasonable.
Yeah.
Now, what about the kitting out? Do you remember how they did it, what you got?
Yes. You lined up for your kit, right. You were just bunged it in your hand. What size shoes? That's it, bump it out. And you were just copped it all, like, you know.
Do you remember what you got? Because it's all changed.
Well,
or if you don't.
There was loads of stuff. I remember they used to call your pants cellulose. Why they called it cellulose, I don't know. Your boxer short things, like, you know, cellulose, one pair of cellulose. And housewife, you used to get a housewife, which was great. One housewife, one, and that, and with your needle and cotton and all that, you know, and the socks, the grey socks.
Did the uniform fit? You know, the
first thing, well, your kilt's fitted anyway. That was.
Well, tell me about the kilt, because that's more unusual.
Yeah.
What sort of kilt was it?
Well, I've got my Cameron kilt there. That's it's hanging up in the wardrobe, and my Black Watch kilt. But what they done to me? You knelt down. You got your waist side, but you knelt down, and the kilt cut your knee in half. If it cut your knee in half, right round here, that was all right. Yeah. And you wore it. They wouldn't let you out. They wouldn't let you out of the barracks without the kilt on. Oh, no.
And how did you feel about it? Because you weren't particularly Scottish.
Great. I'd done my best for Uncle Mac, and that was it. And he was so proud.
You feel Scottish at all?
Well, you do. And you start to talk that way when you got them coming at you. I mean, I had a guy there, he'd never seen an electric bulb before he come to Fort George. He come from Aberdeen, and he was a forest worker. And I couldn't understand him. He was more like a German, because they are. I mean, along the east coast of Scotland, they have got that guttural sound about them. Yeah, but
you had some trouble understanding him. I mean, not joking.
Oh, first off, no, I didn't really.
Because accents then were much more pronounced than they are now.
Oh yeah.
What about you? Could they understand you? Because, I mean, I know...
They used to understand me. People who come from Inverness, funny enough, theirself, speak like English, with hardly an accent to them. But it's those that come, like the Glaswegians, like, oh, great. The Jimmies and all that.
Now, so what about your barrack room? It's a barrack room, isn't it? It's not a hut.
You're in a fort. Stone. There's no windows.
What was your barrack room like? What was the layout like? If you remember, you know.
One, two, three. There was four of us in there. That's all. It was just like a cell. Really, it was granite. There was no refurb. They didn't refurbish it because it was just a granite cell. And there was gun ports. That was your window. And you was overlooking the Moray Firth. I don't know whether they was dolphins or what. I used to watch them. Yeah. But the biggest.
So the beds were what? Just laid out to either side of the room?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, four.
And did you have a locker or foot locker?
Oh, yeah, you had a locker. Yeah. But that was an old tin. A bit of tin, like, you know. And then you had a foot locker as well. Down there, you used to keep all your cleaning stuff in the foot locker at the foot of the bed. And your kilt was hung up above your head. That had two pegs. You used to hang it because your kilt's got two loops either side. You used to hang it up.
And what about heating? Because it's April, it's still cold.
Oh, no heating. No.
It's colder.
Oh, yeah. Freezing. But never felt so fit in your life.
Okay. What about the washing facilities? Were they sort of...
Oh, the ablutions, yeah. They were still like the old fort used to, you know, just... So most of it was cold water anyway.
Now, the way we look at training, just so it's coherent, it doesn't matter too much, it's through a typical day, you know, of basic training, because it picks everything else. How would your day start, you know, when you got going with your training squad? Because you'd be with a squad of the Queenstown Cameron Highlands. I don't know if you remember which squad.
I was in Infall Platoon. Infall.
And, how did your day start with Infall Platoon?
Well... The first thing you heard of a morning was the pipes. Such as last thing at night was the pipes, the valley, down to breakfast, down to cookhouse.
So nothing, you did nothing first, you just got yourself dressed.
Oh yeah, wash, shave, the blue.
You wouldn't wear the kilt, you'd wear your
you probably wear denims. What we used to call, I suppose it was called denims, but they're called combats now, don't they? As was just plain. It all depends what sort of training you was going to do that day. But
so you just get dressed.
You probably wear your denims, and then you might be ordered to wear your BD, which is a battle dress. And if you was going on the rifle range, you'd go out.
Now hang on. So let's look at breakfast first. So we'll look at all the food together. I think. Yeah. What did you think? You'd been at home all that time. You know. Mm. What did you think? You weren't fussy though, we've heard that from the story of the stables, you know. What did you think of the food they gave you?
I used to like it, but not enough. Because the money you got, you were straight down to Naffy or wherever you could go again.
What would they give you? What type of food was it?
Porridge. You always had porridge. That was lovely. Because I'd always like porridge anyway.
No, they'd have salt in it, not sugar.
Yes, salt was far better than porridge and sugar.
So you had already
it
got
really that. Is, yeah. It really... Just not a lot of salt, but taste. Apparently, I've heard somewhere that salt is sweeter than sugar. I don't know whether that's true or not, but just a sprinkle of salt, lovely, great. And the way they
do. Have you had that at home before?
Oh yeah.
So you'd always had salt.
Yeah. That was it. So I didn't mind that. Eggs and all that eggs. We've got eggs, bacon, sausages, all the
and
lot.
Was it well cooked?
Well cooked. Sometimes overcooked, you know.
Decent ingredients. Yeah. Well. Yeah. But there wasn't enough of it.
There was never enough of it, no.
You couldn't have seven?
No.
And what about lunch? We'll skip on through the meals. What did you get for lunch, roughly speaking?
Well, roughly speaking, we used to have dinner. Twice, like, you know. It would be dinner, not lunch. It would be dinner, then it would be another dinner, like, you know, evening meal.
And what would they be? What kind of dinner would this be?
Well, you'd have mash. Always had mash. Lovely. Greens. And the greens was always... stringy, I don't know why. And they weren't well done either. Mind you shouldn't have well done greens anyway, because the iron cover, you just reduce all the goodness if you boil them.
And what about your main, the meat, what would it be? Would it be a pie or would it be a joint? Or what?
You'd have a pie, yeah, lovely meat pies, and also beef as well. Lovely cuts of beef they used to give you, really.
All round, you were happy with it.
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, when I'd finished my training, I was already a sign on for a 30-year man.
I'll come to that, don't you?
That's later on, yeah.
Now, so after breakfast, get back to breakfast, what sort of training sessions might you be on in the morning? You know,
well, first of all, basic, it would be drill.
Now, tell me...
The old drill sergeant used to get you going.
How did you take to drill,
sir? Great, loved it.
Right from the... You haven't done any before?
No.
No problems?
No problems at all.
You weren't?
No. Loved being a drill. Loved it.
So what did you like about it? Because some people hate it. A lot of people love it. That's true.
I did. I really loved parades. Great. Give me them all the time.
So why did you like it, do you think?
I don't know, really. It was... I'd never been never been sort of military orientated at all. Like, you know, I was doing my own thing. I was running wild up to then, you know, and being told what to do was great. I think so, anyway.
Did you know why you had to do so much drill? I mean, did you understand
it? Yeah, I understood that because my brother Jim, Uncle Wegg, you know, they'd always say, like, you know, the British Army is the finest in the world only through its discipline. And that was in my mind. The more they tell me they're telling me to do these things for a reason. And that was, I suppose, why I took to it. I mean, some of the guys there, they'd start crying of a night time, they want to go home, and they'd start moaning during the day and all that, and they make their life a misery, honestly.
So, drill, what other sessions might you have? You've got your drill, and you know.
Well, they'd be up on the ranges.
It's a weapons training. Let's go through all the weapons.
Weaponry, yeah.
Start with a rifle, I think.
Weaponry, yeah. The 303, Lee Enfield.
How did they train you to shoot?
Great. Well, you had to zero. You had to zero the rifle before you even started. Well, you go down on a range, and you'd have a marker down there. You'd fire off, and then you might be firing to the left. And that used to zero it in with your sights. You had a front and back sight you could zero it in with. And until it was, you was hitting the ball, like, you know. In the butts, the old thing had come up there. Can I tell you about an incident about rifles?
Yeah.
About when we was down on the range. Looking across from us is the Black Isle. And we was down there one day. Now, this guy, Billy Hands, I'll tell you it later on, but we still meet today. In fact, he was on the phone the other night. He's a Dunfermline laddie. Can't hardly understand him today when he talks. He's your kin and all this stuff, but he's a great guy. Training. And this is with the Bren gun, by the way, getting away from the Lee Enfield. He's on the Bren. And that is mostly used for fixed lines, really. Anyway, Billy's on the Bren. He's come across, the sergeant's come behind him. He said, "Hands, what are you doing?" "What's that, sergeant?" He said, "We're going to be in for a lot of compensation." He said, "Why is it?" He said, "You killed all the sheep on the Black Isle." He'd missed the butt. Oh, it's great. That was one incident where you could have a laugh. It'd take you out. But sometimes the butts, rifle range was so miserable, it would be wet.
Let's stick to the Bren gun now we move. Yeah. We'll come back to the rifle because we've done the zero. So tell me about Bren gun training. What was it like to fire
I never got on well with it at all.
Why not?
I don't know. It sort of wasn't my weapon at all. Used to strip it to pieces and put it blindfold and put it to bit with two barrels with it and everything else. But it wasn't my weapon at all. It was so, I don't know, you didn't have sort of control of it. I'd sooner have the Enfield, where you had control of it.
Tell me about your rifle. Let's get on with the rifle. How did you? You told us how you zeroed it. So how did you learn to shoot it? And, you know,
well, just by continuous practice. You had your own rifle, and you had to keep that immaculate. And I did. I was never pulled up once for a dirty barrel because you had your pull through and your 2x2 and your in the butler. That one it comes out. You know. I used to love cleaning it and looking
for it. How did you clean it? Tell us how you did it.
Well, on the weight of the pull through, you had a weight about the size, not so thick as a pencil, and about 2 or 3 inches long. Fits on a piece of rope with a loop on it, and you had this cloth, 2x2, like a soft saddle cloth. I'd call it a saddle cloth, but it was nice. White. Sometimes it had a blue stripe through the middle. I don't know why the blue stripe was there, or red stripe. And tip the rifle upside down, take the bolt off, bump, drop it through, drop the metal thing through. And sometimes it would be hard to pull through. You pull it through, pull it through, pull it through. No, and there might be a little speck of dirt. You could hardly see it.
But when the drill sergeant come round, he would find it. Yeah.
Now, what about shooting it? I mean, how do they teach you to shoot accurately? Because it's not that easy. It's a big kick.
No. You used to line up your sights, like, you know. But firing your own weapon, you used to find out how to fire your own weapon properly without anyone else's. You might be hitting the ball 3 times out of 3, given someone else's weapon, and you wouldn't hit the ball, like, you know. But I used to love it. I used to take the old sergeant, like, you know, that's the more of this. But then, in Scotland, I don't know, even on a summer's day, you can go out on the range and you'll be soaking wet. The heather would be wet with dew, and the trees, if there's any trees in sight, they're still wet, they're dripping wet. And they never used to like to go up there, maybe. Oh dear. But I used to like it.
And were you a good shot, do you think?
Well, a good shot, I'd be in the sniper platoon, but I weren't.
So you were okay?
Yeah.
What about other ones? What about bayonet training? What bayonet training did you do?
Well, basic. We didn't have a lot of bayonet training. We didn't have a lot. We used to do a charge up to a dummy, stick it in, twist it, and pull it out. And that was it. We never had a lot of bayonet.
Were you still being encouraged to shout and bawl as you did it? You know,
charge. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mainly, I think, that all that shouting one. Because, you know, the black bear, have you heard the black bear? The pipes and drum, play the black bear. That is the cry of the bayonet charge of the Black Watch. There's a break in the tune where you scream. They do, even when they're marching, they scream like the black bear. And that is that's the Black Watch bayonet charge, that is. Yeah. No, we never did a lot of bayonet practice.
So what about, hand grenades?
Oh, hand grenades, yeah.
Tell me about the training on
that. Yeah, you had to do that. Well, you'd go down on there and you'd have, you'd be with an instructor in the pit with you, you know. I think it was a 3 second. It was a 3 second fuse you'd put in, a 3 second one, and I think a 10 second one, I don't know. But there was one incident when he did drop it. He'd pulled the pin out and he dropped it. But I wasn't in that pit, I was back there, but the instructor did throw it. He got to it quick. That's why he was always together with you in there, like, you know, when you was.
Did they make you nervous? Hand grenades? Before you started?
No. I wasn't nervous. No. But I could never understand why they'd done this overarm thing with it.
Cricket bowling.
With it. I could never understand that. Where you'd be more accurate throwing it like a baseball. You know, if they. But you had to do with the rules anyway. You had to throw it overarm and that was it. But they never had no fear.
Now, what about Sten gun? That's the little submachine gun.
Well, that is like a house to house mopping up thing, like, you know.
Do you get to practice on that?
Not a lot. They used to. I mean, when we were in Korea, if we did have a skin, we would. Double up on the spring, like, you know, to make it more effective. But that was only like house to house clearing, though, was.
Did you realise how inaccurate they were?
Yeah, yeah. All right for killing rabbits, I should imagine.
What about anything? Any other weapons? Piet or
No, not the
Piet. Mortars?
No. Well, mortars we did, but I wasn't in the mortar platoon.
I just wondered if you did. Basically, did it?
No.
So no other weapons you can think of in basic?
Not in basic training, no.
Now what about tactical exercise? You know, where you get out and in the field and practice attacks, defending, that sort of thing.
Didn't do a lot of that at Fort George. I'd done that when we got to Tripoli. That is when we come to the tactical stuff.
Fair enough.
When I went abroad.
What about the various forms of PT, physical training?
Loved it. Country dancing, that was a must. And we had what we call...
Really? You had to do the Highland Reel?
You had to do that.
Tell me about that, because that is unusual, obviously.
Yes. First thing we had in the morning, before breakfast, it was down on the shore and running in these little sarnies, what they called, they was brown, brown slippers, army ones, terrible. Little pair of shorts on, cold, and he used to run you round the foreshores of the fort, the PTI. Great guy. Funny enough, I've met up with a PTI. Can't think of his name now, but he was Black Watch though.
Did you find the running tough? I mean,
no.
You played a lot of football.
It was easy. So but the Highland dancing I did, you know.
Now, when did you do that?
The country dancing.
Would that be done after the PT?
That was done after, any time. You'd have a look on your schedule down. You'd have a daily schedule thing posted up, daily orders, you know, to see if you was on guard or anything like that. But then you say, info platoon. Highland country dance. I liked it. I still do it today when we have a Kaylee.
Did it take you a while to sort of get the hang of it?
No. Basically, it's quite easy because there's no sort of variations to it. Like, you know, you do it once, like in an eightsome. You do it eight times and it's repetitive, you know, so once you get it, it's great. But it's, I don't know if you've ever been to a Kaylee, have you, Peter? Great. Highland dancing, everyone's got a smile on their face. They really have. They love it. And some of the ladies come and kick their shoes off. They run back and kick their shoes off and run back in and get the set again and start dancing. Oh, yeah, we had that. And that would be kilts. You'd have to have your kilts on. And that was mainly the only time that we was allowed to wear anything underneath a kilt. Highland dance, Highland games, which included dancing as well.
Now, did you do Highland games in your basic
career? I never, no.
Now, what about the other forms of PT? So you've got running. What about gym work?
Not really, no. No, we never done no gym work. No.
Route marching?
Oh, route march. Oh, dear, yeah. That was, yeah. The final route march before you pass out was a 20-miler full service marching order, FSMO. But the thing was, what brightened you up, and I do say this about the pipes, anyone who's not served in a Scots regiment would say it, the pipes do give you a lift. About 3 miles from the barracks, from Fort George, we used to have two pipers. They'd be waiting for us there. They used to step out, and instead of route marching, you used to march back to barracks behind the pipe, the two pipers. Yeah, they really give you a lift. Yeah.
But what about the assault course? Did you have an assault course?
We did have an assault course, but not so much an assault course. I mean, that came, most of that came when you reached battalion.
Okay.
Colours, like, you know.
We'll sort that out later. So, did your fitness improve with all this?
Yeah. Lost a bit of weight too. Ran my waist. Yeah, really.
It was working.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about, how did you get on with the other lads? You know, right. The other recruits. Were most of them Scottish?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I piled up, sadly enough, with three Argyles, because Fort George at the time was a Highland training. They had the HLI there, which is now defunct, the Seaforths, which is now Cameron Highlanders, which is now defunct, Gordon Highlanders, HLI.
Were you all mixed up Argyles. In the
platoons
then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you was all mixed. Yeah. Oh, yes.
So what was it?
See, my battalion, I was... they knew I was going... I was a Cameron Highlander. The guy next to me in the same platoon, he was an Argyle. Black Watch, that was all mixed up, yeah.
So it's just a general training. Did it have general a name?
For the Highland Division. Yeah.
It's a Highland Division training centre.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so you got on well with them. Well, was your any side in any of them with you being English? Because you were English, I mean, as far as they're concerned, especially.
No. There was one. There's a couple of Liverpool lads there. They had no Scottish connections.
But you weren't treated any differently?
No different at all, no.
No bullying at all?
Never. I never found any sign of bullying in the army while I was in it. It's only now when you see it, I don't know why, but it's all changed.
But as far as you were concerned, you got on well with the lads.
Yeah.
You made some good mates.
Great, yeah.
Now, what about the NCOs, the instructors? What did you think of them?
They was great, because they'd done their job well. They prepared me for what I was going to do.
What were they, how did they treat you? You know what I mean? How rough were they? You said they didn't shout.
Not rough at all. No, they weren't rough at all. I couldn't say they were rough. No. No, they weren't. No.
And they were fair?
Yeah. Yeah, I could think of Sergeant Hutch, great guy. Even when I reached battalion, when I reached the colours in Tripoli, Sergeant Tanky Mills, great guys. Yeah.
Now, what about officers? Did you see, in your recruit training, did you see much of your officers, or did they have an important part to play, or was it really the instructors?
Oh, yeah. No, they was... you didn't see much of officers, because then, at the time then, them officers there, it was their career and their life. They'd probably, if they was Black Watch, if they was Cameron, if they was going in any Scottish battalion at all, regiment, they'd probably have been booked in before they was born. If you're a boy, you're going in the Black Watch, put the name down, see? And it was them. Oh yeah, they kept themselves apart from when you was route marching or anything like that, you know, or on the range, you'd have an officer there standing on a hill with his stick. We always had a walking stick. I don't know why, but it's maybe a plumpy on it. But no, there was never...
So you didn't see much of them?
Not much officers, no. No. What we did see with the officers, we had a laugh, because their kilts was made of a lighter material and a lighter weave than what our kilts were, the other ranks. And Fort George, if anyone who's been there will know, the winds are terrible, especially for lifting the kilt. And you'd see an officer come round, we might be on parade or anywhere, like, you know, just standing, you see an officer come round with a bunch of papers in one arm, like this. And he'd be careful because the bonnet, at that time, the TOS, which the Tam O'Shanter, was much bigger than it is today. And he'd be coming round, trying to tilt his head so his bonnet don't come off, but he was forgetting about the kilt. And when he hit the corner, the kilt went whoop. Not the back, but the front. Yeah.
I mean, it's an old thing, but we can't resist it. You didn't wear anything underneath the kilt. Is that true?
You dare.
Nothing at all? No.
Nothing at all. No.
Including the officers?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So it made it more amusing when the kilt flew up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, you didn't know. It was. So the only time we was allowed to wear was at Island Games. Then you was allowed
and
to
dancing.
Wear. Yeah, dancing, of course, yeah. But there's an incident when getting back to the kilt and what you're to wear. Some of the Scots lads used to hate the kilt. If they come from a lowland family, they would hate the kilt. But you could never leave the fort without the kilt. And on a Saturday night, I have seen it because I've been behind the guys. I used to love wearing the kilt. They would go across the drawbridge. They'd pass the sentry, pass the inspection. You'd either stand on a plate, a chrome plate, or the orderly officer would have a mirror on a stick, a square mirror. It was a square one. And you weren't allowed to lift your kilt. He used to put it just down and he used to look down.
Check you were wearing underpants.
Yeah. But this time, they used to know who used to do it. He was I think his name was Anderson. He never used to trouble. He was getting on, I think he was finishing his time as an orderly officer. Never used to trouble about that. And he used to know when he was on, he used to go out with their BDs rolled right up. They used to go all right when they were, because the coach used to be waiting, the bus used to be waiting over the road. They used to go across the drawbridge and they might step a little bit. And the trains would be coming down. Great. Oh,
but
that's true. That one.
Was it cold?
No.
They always say
no.
With it whistling around the privates, but I mean, it's an older.
Oh no, it was warm. It really was, yeah. It really was warm. I'd sooner wear a kilt on the coldest day than wear a pair of trousers. Yeah, I really would.